many of us ever leave home without our cell phones? I wish I did some days, but nobody ever leaves home without their cell phone, do they? Coming to church with your Bible is the exact same way. Just as important as your cell phone is to you, I think some of you live and breathe. It's like an oxygen mask. But I promise you, if you bring your Bible and keep it open, God will help you. Romans chapter number 10 is where we're going to be at tonight. And I want you to stay there. I'm going to go to a couple different places, but I want you to stay in Romans chapter number 10. Probably some of the most famous verses in all of the New Testament. When I start reading them, you'll remember at least a couple of them. And I want to draw an application from this. So you listen quickly, and I'll get you out of here quickly tonight as well. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And what a verse. We're not stopping there permanently, but that's a bold verse. In my Bible, right there where it says Israel, right beside Israel, Brother Randy, I wrote the word America. I'm not adding to or taking away from the Bible, but brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for America is that they might be saved. That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be, you could say, each man. You could say faith. You could say someone else's name. But brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And I say amen for that. And I'm thankful that He is our payment. There is no more law. There is no more. I understand we still have it. But I understand that God is the propitiation for our sins. Verse number 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness, verse number 8, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, saying, in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Verse number 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Notice verse number 9, this ought to resonate in your heart. That if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the Lord over all is rich unto all of them that call upon him. And again, in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, Brother Brandon, a couple of these verses I don't understand. Well, you ought to understand 9 and 13 very clearly. You say, Brother Brandon, what must I do to be saved? I understand repentance is necessary. I understand we'll look at a couple other things tonight that are in place, but it's simply, as verse 13 tells us, just as elementary as it is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say you have to be a millionaire. Doesn't say, Brother Kevin, you have to have everything in right in your eyes. It says you must call upon him and trust only in him, because he alone is where salvation comes from. Brother James, there's a lot of other things that's important in our Christian life, but salvation is not relying on anything outside of the death, burial, and resurrection and the repentance of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ. You can stay in Romans chapter number 10 tonight. I'm not going to go very far from that. But in Romans 3, the story continues. We call this the Romans Road of our Bible. If you've ever been led to the Lord or someone's showed you Scripture how to be saved, some of these verses have probably been quoted to you on this altar before, wherever you were. But Romans chapter number 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brother Brandon, am I required to be saved? Am I required to trust Christ as my Savior? Am I part of that number? The Bible says, for all have sinned. Now, our pastor says all in the Greek and Hebrew means what? All. That's exactly right. It's pretty easy. You can look that up in Webster's. You can look it up in any language you want to. But all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the very conception of your life, we were born into sin. There's nobody that's been exempt from it. There's nobody that is outside of Adam and Eve when they're created and they fell into it. But from their sin forward, Brother Dalton, nobody has been born outside of sin. Therefore, salvation is mandatory for all who wants to go to heaven. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 said, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can argue with me tonight, but I believe that's the most important verse in all the Bible to me. That's one of the most important verses of all of my life, and it's not necessarily my life verse, but it tells me, listen, that God commended his love towards me, towards you, that in while we were yet sinners, when we were messed up, Brother James, when we didn't have things right, Christ died for us knowing what we would be. Think about this, and we'll move quickly through this. Before you were ever born, before every murderer was ever born, before every person that does awful sin, whether it be whatever, whether it be substance, whether it be gross sin, whether it be petty sin, no matter what it may be, before they were ever born, Jesus Christ and God knew that they were going to do, Brother Evan, what they were going to do, yet he still loved them, yet he still died for them, and yet he still paid the price for their sin. Now, I can't fathom that. If I knew for sure that somebody was going to hurt my child or somebody was going to do something that was to that magnitude, but it would be hard for me to give my life for them or especially to sacrifice one of my kids for their life, Brother Harold. But he did that because he loved us to the uttermost. He loved us from the guttermost. He loved us in spite of all of our sin, yet he died for us. Anytime you're thinking about Brother Brandon, I don't know that I deserve to be saved. Can I tell you, none of us deserve to be saved, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. These verses are the ones that I've just read, and there's more. You could go through the New Testament in John 3:16. You say, Brother Brandon, what does the Romans Road got to do anything with a Wednesday night service tonight? Well, we could just simply read this, preach salvation, go to the house, Brother Jeremy, and be sufficient because he's still saving today. But these verses are some of the greatest in all the Bible. Some of the ones that probably are highlighted in most of your Bible, especially if you are someone that's going door-to-door knocking, Brother Garrett, or someone that deals with people on the altar, these verses probably should be marked in your Bible for quick reference so that you may remember them, you may can quote them, but there's nothing like opening a Bible and showing someone what the Word of God said. It's not because I'm quoting it or I'm saying it, but I can take you in the Bible and show you Romans chapter number 10, verse 9, 13, John 3:16. But Brother Matt, they're some of the most precious verses in all the Bible. They teach to us and they explain to us not only our fallen and sinful nature, but they also show us that there was a perfect sacrifice and payment made. Now, it would have been awful, Miss Chrissy, to have a Bible that showed us how wicked we were and how sinful we were and how low we were and how worthless we were, and then there was nothing else past that. You say, Brother Brandon, that'd be a depressing book. That's exactly right. That's more depressing than reading the phone book or the dictionary or anything else to know, listen, I'm worthless, and I know I'm not worth anything, and I know that I'm sinful, and I know that my life's a mess. But I'm thankful in the Bible, Brother Kevin, where God put some buts in the Bible. But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This book, it is to condemn our sin, but it's not just to leave us in a condemned state, Brother Petey. It is to show us that there is a way out, and these verses teach us that. Can I tell you tonight, if you don't get anything, understand this, Jesus Christ, maybe you've never heard this before, but Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin. Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin. But did you know, and I don't think any young people is going to gasp for air here, but the adults, they may gasp for air. But I was thinking about something, and I wrote it down this week, and when I say it, don't jump off the ship. I'm going somewhere, Brother Harold, so give me 5 minutes, and I'll come back around, all right? But do you realize, young people, that both a life, Brother Wayne, of sin with Satan and a life of freedom with Christ, both will give you contentment, happiness, and pleasure? That sounds wrong, doesn't it? Brother Brandon, you preach every week that only a life of Christ will give us happiness, pleasure, and contentment. And in a way, that is true, and we'll get there in just a moment. But I'm not going to argue the fact tonight, and I want you to understand that I realize that a life of sinfulness, wickedness, and a life of rebellion, it also provides happiness, contentment, and satisfaction. See, Brother Brandon, that blows my mind. Now stay with me, and we'll get somewhere. Satan in lost sinful life always gives you happiness and the time of your life up front, first, followed by destruction and death later. Let me tell you, it's fun to live in sin. You say, Brother Brandon, I can't believe you're saying that from the pulpit. Can I tell you? The Bible tells us in Luke 15, the Bible says, and a certain man had two sons. You know the story, Brother Wayne, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. Notice this, with riotous living. Brother Brandon, what does that mean? That means this young man was having the time of his life, Brother Matt, as long as he had funds to fund it. I mean, it didn't matter what anybody said. He didn't have to listen to mama. He didn't have to listen to daddy. He didn't have to listen to aunts and uncles. He didn't have to listen to anybody. As long as he had the means to do so, he was having the time of his life. See, Brother Brandon, I see athletes and I see movie stars and I see people all across the nation that on billboards and just see them on television, and man, they've got millions of dollars and their life is perfect and everything about them is what I want. Can I tell you right now, they may be having the time of their life. But that story didn't stop in verse 13. The Bible said that when he had spent all, there it is, when he's out, when the money dried up, the friends dried up. When the money dried up, the party dried up. When the money dried up, the social club dried up. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, had nothing. Everybody that was there for him, when they could no longer provide for them or provide an excitement, they were gone. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to feed the swine. Now, what's a swine? Answer me audibly. What's a swine? A pig. That's exactly right. So he's gone from being a spoiled kid, having the time of his life, living in sin, to now living with a what? A pig. Come on, y'all got to answer me how it faster than that. A pig. That's right. Good job. A pig. So how do you get from one place in your life to the other place in your life? Well, it's not in that story today. We may not see someone walking down the street living with pigs, but I can guarantee you there's several that's on those billboards and those that's in the and like social media and different things that you see that, man, their life's just great. It won't be long, Brother Allen. They may not be with a swine, but they'll be in a hospital. They'll be in a detox. They'll be in something in their life, and that fun, man, it's gone. There went my handkerchief, but either way. But it's fun. I got to grip that thing, Brother Evan, but it's fun. It's head wax, I guess, off my face, either way. But, man, they're having the time of their life. You say, Brother Brandon, I can't believe you said living for Satan is fun. Can I tell you, there's nobody that gets into sin when they first get into it. And, man, that they're accepted, Brother Harold. They're having the time of their life. Let me tell you, I've been there before in my life when I was your age and some of you's age. And I'm not proud of that, but there was things in my life to where I may have been having the time of my life. But, Miss Christie, it all came crashing down amongst me because I'm telling you, there is happiness in sin. But it always comes first. It always comes first. Hebrews 11 states this: Moses chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God rather than enjoy pleasure of sin for a season. Brother Brandon, my whole life, my mom and dad, my youth pastor, my church, my pastor, they keep telling me, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I shouldn't do that, and I've got to do this, I've got to be there, I've got to sit this way, I've got to wear this way. Man, I can't believe that they're robbing me from everything that I could have. And I've been on that side. Brother Hoyt, I've been in those shoes. Now I understand that. And I'm not preaching to you tonight as someone that's 60 and 70, 80 years old. Although I encourage you, if you want good information in your church, you ought to turn around and find those people. They'll help you in your life. But understand, as I said, Satan and the lost sinful life, it always gives you happiness first. Say, well, Brother Brandon, I kind of understand that now. But I want you to think about the second equation of this, and I'm going to preach and go home. Satan gives you everything you want up front, right now. That's what our culture wants. That's what our society wants. That's what we want. We get mad waiting in McDonald's drive-thru for 10 minutes and screaming at somebody when at home it'd take us 30 minutes to thaw out the hamburger. And we're still screaming at this lady that has no clue what she's doing, and she just won't take your money for 10 minutes, and you're screaming at her, where's my cheeseburger? We're in that society. The microwave takes too long. I mean, we're in it every single day. Satan always gives you what you want first. What about Christ? What about a life for Christ? Christ gives his blessings and happiness and joy and fulfillment after. Brother Brandon, why do we read Romans chapter number 10 tonight? Because these are the verses that changed my life at 8 years old. These are the verses to where I didn't understand, Brother Kevin, but my life literally began at 8 years old. Some of you others may have been 30, 40, 50, 15, 5, 2. I don't know how old you were when you got saved. But your life for Christ and Christ's blessings didn't happen before that. Now, maybe God spared you from some things and protected you to get you to that point. And I get that that's a blessing. But I want to preach just for a second tonight on this thought. The rest is the best. Brother Brandon, what do you mean by the rest is the best? From the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, there's not a person in here, Brother Allen, that knew everything you were getting when you asked Christ to save you. Man, if you'd have known, Brother Wayne, we'd have asked him, years before that. I never saw the faces that I get to see. I never saw in my mind at 8 years old the youth meetings and the lives that they would change my life and I would have a chance to try to change and impact their life. I didn't know any of that. I didn't have a benefit sheet, Brother Mike, that said, if you trust me, this is what you'll get. But there's not one person in here that can tell me that after salvation, God hadn't blessed you and blessed your life. Has there been hard times? Absolutely. Are there hard days? Absolutely. Are there doctor's appointments, Brother John? Absolutely. But God gives his best after salvation. After salvation, you and I, when we give our life to Christ, after we come to that point in Romans chapter number 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved, once we've accomplished that. If you've not accomplished that, you need to stop and get that settled tonight. But if you have accomplished that, I want to remind you of some things to encourage you. I tell our young people, and I preached down here before, I believe when we were dealing with COVID, on the benefits of being a Christian. The benefits package is out of the world. You say, Brother Brandon, what's the pay? Well, sometimes the pay may be good, sometimes the pay may not be good, but the benefits of being a Christian are literally out of this world. Brother Brandon, how in the world can I entice? How can I persuade a young person to trust Christ as their Savior? Well, listen to this tonight, and you older ones as well, see if this is not true in our hearts. After salvation, after you and I give our life to Christ, there are some truths that we must be reminded of. In those hard times of life, in those difficult and dry seasons that we all have, when the rest of the world seems to be having the time of their life, remember these things. So when you're sitting here tonight in church and you're not out there, when you're watching your friends do whatever they want to do, and you say, Brother Brandon, I chose to come to church on Wednesday night, I want to give you some truths tonight that may encourage you just to keep doing what you're doing, because the rest really is the best. Brother Brandon, if you found out today that this was all fake, if you found out today that salvation wasn't real, that God wasn't real, that none of this was fake, can I tell you, I'm still living the greatest life that anybody could live. I've got the greatest friends that anybody could have. We've got the greatest church and anywhere can go to. I've got the greatest family. Said, Brother Brandon, if you found out everything was fake, you'd still want to live this life? Absolutely. I know who I am in the morning. I know where I am. I know what I did the night before. I know this, and I'm not being ugly, but I know what I've got. I'm blessed to come home to two boys and to that lady. I'm blessed to come to church and fellowship with each other. If I found out everything was fake, I'd still meet you here this Sunday. Why is that, Brother Brandon? Because the best is after. The rest is the best. Brother Matt, I thought about this. Number one, for the rest of my life, our lives, we'll never be alone. After salvation, it is impossible for you to ever spend one more moment of your life alone. Many of you have been in the hospital. You said, Brother Brandon, the ambulance beat my family to the hospital. You wasn't alone. Brother Brandon, there have been times when I've been in my room and nobody else was there and mom and daddy's arguing in the other room, slamming doors and different things. And I tell you, there's never been a time that you're alone. Brother Brandon, what do you mean by that? Hebrews 13 says this in verse number 5, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. We can learn a lot from that as well, including me. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have ruled over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, get this, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since salvation, one of the things that will never change for the rest of my life, from the time that I've got saved, I may walk away, I may feel alone, but there's going to be somebody in my corner for the rest of my life. And can I tell you, if you trust Christ and I as your Savior, or if you have already trusted Him as your Savior, the rest of your life can be the best of your life because you'll never be alone. There's nothing like having someone near you. Right now, our boys sleep together. I ain't sure who that's for, one or the other. They hate it. But I said, listen, I'm sleeping with your mom. I'm not sleeping with you kids no more. And I'm the one to put Malachi in the bed with us when he was born. Bad idea. All right? So listen, it took me 10 years to get him out. I mean, they kick and claw. And I go in there in the mornings and Josiah's foot's in his mouth. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I'm praying for you, but I ain't coming back in here. Why is that? They stay together, and I don't know who's protecting who. But I remember when I was little, me and my brother for a while slept together. I think because we had one water bed. We bought a water bed from my Uncle Rodney and Aunt Penny. Probably slept terrible, but it was the coolest thing in the world. You wait till somebody gets dead asleep, and you want to be mean, just go in there and cannonball on that thing. That thing waves for 5 minutes. And, man, it had patches on it. It leaked. My dad hated that thing. But that's the greatest thing in the world. And I don't know why I had a fear as a child, but at nighttime, my brother would lay on this side, I'd lay on this side, and I would watch. I could see down the hall, and I would watch till I couldn't hold my eyes open no more to make sure nobody was coming down the hall to harm us. I remember one night vividly, I don't know why I did that, but I remember one night vividly, I was dead tired. I smacked Tyler. I said, "You watch the hall tonight." I said, "I'm going to sleep." But there's a peace of being near somebody. Listen, even today, Brother Allen, my driveway's a long driveway. If I go to the end of the driveway with a trash can, I'm carrying a golf club, a bat, or a 9mm, one of the two. I live in East Bend. There's some strange creatures in East Bend, both humans and animals. Some of y'all's here tonight, but I'm just saying. But my point is this. There's nothing like, even today, and I can sense, and I know, and I'm not picking on it tonight, man, you're calling for a tornado or a thunderstorm, and that toilet on a stick goes off and up at East Bend. You can hear it at my house. And it does look like a toilet turned sideways. Y'all look at it when you go home. It's a toilet on a stick. But it starts making a loud siren noise. I hear it won't be long. Hear a crack of thunder. And what do I hear in my house? I hear feet. What's happening? They feel safe when they're near their mama because I'm sleeping. But they feel safe when they're near me. I remember vividly, and I'm not going to embarrass him, I'll embarrass myself. There had been many nights, me even as a junior, I don't know, maybe even up to 10, 11 years old, I'd go and take a blanket and make a pallet. How many ever made a pallet before? Listen, make a pallet, mom and daddy's floor, just to hear them. I could hear my mom breathing and my dad snoring. Listen, I knew that they were there. I didn't want to be left. I didn't want to be alone. Can I tell you, there's going to be some dark days in your life. Young people, look at me. There's going to be some days in your life you feel scared to death that you're by yourself. But can I tell you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there'll never be a day the rest of your life that you're alone. Never be a day. Josiah's not out here tonight. One night I cut the lights off and he was screaming. He just froze. He screamed. He got paralyzed, scared of the dark right here. When I got to him, and he's getting it, y'all pray for him. He's asking questions. He asked me about every day. Hey, am I saved today? Am I saved today? I'm like, no, we ain't figured it out yet. But he's asking. So it ain't. Let's just keep plugging, all right? Keep teaching. Keep feeding in goldfish. Just keep cramming them in, Miss Chloe. He's going to get it. But I said, you do not have to be scared of the dark because who's with you? He said, Jesus. And wasn't far from that, he told somebody the next night at house, he said, you can turn the lights off. He said, I'm not scared. Jesus is with me. That's already faded off. He's scared of the dark again already. But I'm just saying, for a brief moment, he was spiritual in his life. And he said, but it's a reality. Now, I'm not literally sitting right beside him, Petey, but there's been some times in an altar. There's been some times at teen camp. There's been some times in my life where I just said, God, nobody else knows what I'm going through, but I sure am thankful you're here with me. Can I tell you one of the greatest benefits of being saved is for the rest of your life, Satan may give you everything up front and then leave you high and dry, leave you in a pig's pen, but Jesus Christ will never leave you because for the rest of my life, I'll never be alone. Number two, quickly, for the rest of my life, not only will I never be alone, but for the rest of my life, I will always have a place. Brother Brandon, what do you mean by you'll always have a place? This is a two-part answer. First of all, I'm thankful for the rest of my life I have a place at the house of God after salvation. This is a special place. Now, on Sunday morning, I don't know where nobody's sitting because if you're in the choir, I'm giving you a seat to somebody else. Somebody comes in, sit down. The other day, I asked Maddie, I said, hey, is your mom and daddy here? She said, well, I think so. I said, well, they're sliding in today. I said, I got two to sit right there. And Brother James didn't get too mad at me. Miss Janet did, but it's okay. I'm just kidding. She didn't. But my purpose is this. I've got a place. I've got a place. Now, I'm sure many of you are the same way, but Christy's car, her Honda, it tells you when to brake. It tells you when to, if I'm driving this side of the lane, it wants to come back this way. I hate it. Just let me drive. I pay taxes on both sides of the road. I should be able to drive on both sides of the road. But regardless of the fact, we get in her car on Sunday mornings and her GPS pulls up. It remembers 2216 Hennings Road. You say, Brother Brandon, why is that? Now, we're not super spiritual, but that Honda knows it's time to go to church. Brother Brandon, my car don't do that. Well, I don't set your phone to do it. I don't know what does it, but I'm telling you, people ought to know. Brother Brandon, I've got lost neighbors. They ought to know where you are Sunday mornings. They ought to know where you are Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Brother Brandon, how come nobody calls you during church? Sometimes they do. Brother Mark Stroud says, answer. If they want to give an offering, give them my address. But how come nobody asks you to do anything on Wednesday night? How many ever get invited to do something on Sunday morning? Because there's nothing more important than being in my place at God's house. Brother Brandon, for the rest of my life, will have a place. We often overlook what a blessing it is just to have this place. Let me ask you a question. Where would your life be? What would you be doing without Faith Community Baptist Church? Brother Brandon, I'd be going to a different church. I'd be going. I very rarely would say that all of us would be attending another church together. So who's going to be not a part of your life anymore? If we close down tonight, Brother Robbie, Brother Matt, and we all say, hey, pick a different church. And some of you may call and say, hey, where are you going? Some of us may end up together because I'm going to church regardless, Brother Wayne. But what a blessing to know that I don't have to worry about that because God's blessed us for the place to come to here. This is my church. This is my church family. Brother Brandon, some have come, some leave, some stay, some don't. I understand that. But for the time being and where God's got a burden in my heart, this is my family. I expect to see people at the front door on Sunday mornings. I expect to see you on Sundays. I expect to see you on Wednesdays. It's a blessing to have a place. Where would we be if it were not for our church? Young people, let me tell you this, and I don't be ugly, it is a privilege to come to church. It's a privilege. Man, if somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm going to bring a van, it ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. Listen, Josiah hides every week and tries to get on the van to go home, and he gets mad that he can't ride it. But I don't care if somebody stops at your house in a car or if you get invited, but it is a privilege to come to church. Say, Brother Brandon, I'm coming to church because I'm important. Can I tell you, ain't none of us important. God needs all of us. God wants to save all of us, but it is a privilege to come to church. You say, Brother Brandon, what does that mean? Older people, it's me included, and I say older, I'm talking about me as well. I'm losing my hair, and some of you don't have any hair. Some of you got more hair than I got. Some of you got fake hair. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I'm just telling you in your life, it is important to realize that whether you're young or whether you're old, this is a special place. So for those of us that's older, we shouldn't fall in a rut and just come because we're supposed to come. We ought to be excited about coming. But for the rest of my life, not only will I never be alone, but for the rest of my life, I'll always have a place in God's house. Number two, part of this, I'll always have a place in heaven. Isn't it a blessing to know, and this is not a license to sin, but do we actually comprehend, Brother Matt, that there is nothing we can do or anyone else can do after salvation to cause us to lose our home in heaven? That's it. Man, you talk about a contract and something else that happens, and there's times you can goof it up and lose. You may lose a membership somewhere. You may lose something else in your life, Brother Wayne, because you didn't pay something or you didn't stay up to date or you broke a dress code or you done this or you done that. But a place in heaven, it's not a license. And I believe if you're truly saved, you won't have this mindset. But it's not, man, I got saved. Now I can do whatever I want to do, Petey, because it don't matter. Brother Brandon said, I can't go to hell if I get saved. You say, Brother Brandon, is that a possibility? I understand that's the truth, but I believe you truly get saved, you'll be the most miserable person in all the world. But number two, God will put something in you that makes you want to come to church and wants to do right and want to have that. But there's nothing in the world, Brother Harold, if they come tomorrow and take my house, if they take my family, if they take me, they take my car, take my life, whatever, there's nobody that can take heaven from me. That's a blessing. How does Peter sleep there in shackles in the prison cell? He knew who his Redeemer was. How does Paul and Silas, how do they sing in the midnight hour? They knew who their Redeemer was, and they knew, listen, the worst thing that can happen to me is they take my life, and forever and eternity, I'm living with Him. I'll always have a place in heaven. There'll come a day they'll take driver's license. Keys may be replaced. Robbers can come in and rob. Inflation can drain us, but nothing can take our home in glory. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So for the rest of my life, after Romans 10, verse number 9 and verse number 13, when I trust Christ, a life of Satan, the blessings are over, but the blessings of serving Christ have just begun, because the best is the rest. Not only, Brother Matt, do I see the rest of my life, I'll never be alone, I'll never, for the rest of my life, I'll always have a place. But think about this, number three, it's a blessing. For the rest of my life, Brother Allen, I'll always have a story. Brother Brandon, what do you mean by a story? A testimony. Acts 26:1, I preached this one Halloween night here, probably 4 or 5 years ago at the church. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Brother Brandon, what did he do? He testified. He obtained a testimony on the Damascus Road of how what he used to be. God literally changed his life and changed his name. But he has a purpose. He has a story. Can I tell you, for the rest of my life, it'll never get old, Brother Garrett, if I go and knock on a door with you on a Tuesday night or wherever, it ought to never get old, and my story will never change. Hey, listen, as an 8-year-old little boy, Liberty Baptist Church, Moxville, North Carolina, I was sitting beside my dad. There was a young man in the altar. Brother Marvin Blackbird was giving the altar call. Brother Don Ball was still standing in the pulpit that night, and I remember very vividly coming down, kneeling on the right side. It ain't got to be this dramatic or this. I probably wouldn't go into this great detail telling somebody about the Lord, but the main purpose is as an 8-year-old little boy, Jesus Christ changed my life forever, and I've never been the same. And by the way, He wants to do the same for you. That's my story. I ought to never forget that story. I ought to tell it enough that you never forget that story. That boy right there ought to never forget my story. But forever, from the time of salvation, when I trusted Christ, I'll always have a story. Never be ashamed of that. Say, Brother Brandon, I testify too much. If you're testifying about how Jesus Christ saved you, what He did in your life, you can never testify too much. Say, Brother Brandon, I've never given my testimony. Man, it do wonders for you to do it. It do wonders for you to just open your mouth. You say, man, Brother Brandon, people in the church thought I was lost. Well, tell them different. Tell them that you've been saved. Tell them how it happened. Give you a testimony. For the rest of my life, I'll always have a story. Quickly, for the rest of my life, I'll always be full. I'm not going to preach all of these tonight. Say, Brother Brandon, what do you mean by being full? Some of us get hungry every 2 hours. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. John 6, go one place with me, and we're going to close in just a minute. John chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth chapter. John chapter number 6. Some of y'all doing sword drills. Roscoe and Malachi's got fine arts this week. Roscoe, you doing sword drills or no? No? We'll do them sometime together then. Sword drills. Open your Bible in John chapter number 6. Roscoe is singing in the choir though, so y'all pray for him and Malachi. Roscoe, you got a solo? I won't blame you. I wouldn't want one either. John chapter number 6. You know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I want an audible answer in just a second. Young people, you got your Bibles open? Peter, you looking? You in John 6? In the right Bible, the right pages? All right, here we go. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had, this is verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Verse number 12, everybody there? When they were, what's the next word? Filled. He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse number 13, watch it. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. So not only did God take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fill everybody up. How many of you ever ate before and you tried to be polite and you left like a, you know, it's crazy. I know some of y'all just had showers. Don't take us offensive. You go to showers or birthday parties and they got peanuts and cake and punch at lunchtime. What a blessing. I said, Brother Brandon, what happened? Listen, I told Christy, I said, if we're having a birthday party for our kids, Zaxby's, Chick-fil-A, some animals giving their life if we're having it at lunchtime. If you want to have it in the middle of the day, that's fine. But I ain't inviting people to lunchtime without feeding them. I said, it is lunchtime. Feed them. That's important. The Bible says that they didn't have cake and peanut and cocktail weenies here, and they left and went home and stopped by McDonald's and left. I've heard our preacher say before, he's left Olive Garden, went to McDonald's to get a hamburger, and so he just didn't like it. But I understand this much. When you're full, how many's ever, on the opposite of that, how many's ever ate so much before? Brother Kev, we've both been to the smokehouse. When you pull back from that table, you're miserable. Miserable. Brother Garrett in here, is he back here tonight? Brother Garrett, is he up there? I've been with him down there to that Brazilian steakhouse before, and I thought he got to lay in Carson's truck bed coming home. Anybody know what a meat sweat is? Yes. He had them. I mean, listen, that guy in that Brazilian language said, you got to go. You got to go. You got to get out of here. All you can eat is closed. Miserable. All of us. The disciples, the Bible said in John 6, Brother Wayne, it says they were full. That means they didn't want anything else. And then God said, not only am I going to prove to you I can fill you up, I want you to take your lunch boxes and go back, and I'm going to fill them up again after I've already fed everybody. Brother Brandon, what does that prove to us? For the rest of my life after salvation, I will always be full if I choose to eat what God's given me. Not just physically, but spiritually. We'll always be full. Number 5, lastly, Miss Savannah, if you come to the piano, we'll be done in just a second. My point is saying this. I give you an illustration at the beginning of this. I read the Romans Road to get you to the point of salvation. Then I made a bold statement that said, hey, listen, do you know living for Satan can be fun, hopeful, content? And everybody kind of looked at me funny. Then I said, this is my purpose. It was content for that man in Luke 15, but then all of a sudden when his life turned and the fun was over, for the rest of his life he had destruction. This is my arguing point before I give you my last time. Brother Pete, if I'm presenting a case tonight to a teenager on why you should live for Christ, here's your options. Everybody look at me. Dawson, you can live for, and I'm not just saying you are, I know you're not, but you can live for Satan and have all the goodness right now. But 5 years from now, when you're 20 and 21 years old, you got to give it up. And then for the rest of your life, you live with regret, burden, heartache, defeat, misery, destruction. But you get 5 years of good. You just got to live the rest of your life with bad. Or you can trust Christ right now in your life. Your teenage years may seem unfair. Your friends may be a little bit funny or different. You may go to a Bible study on Thursday night instead of going to a bonfire on Friday night. But when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, God's blessings will never stop dumping into your life. Now, I'm a winner. I want to win, Brother Garrett. Y'all know that. I'm picking God's side every time. 40, 50, 60 years, actually maybe better than that, for all eternity, amen, God's blessings will dump into your life. Amen. Or you can choose to have the best first. But I believe with all my heart the rest is the best. I not only, first of all, I'm not only, as I said tonight, for the rest of my life, I will never be alone. For the rest of my life, I'll always have a place. For the rest of my life, I'll always have a story. For the rest of my life, I'll always be full. But number five, and quickly, for the rest of my life, I'll always be amazed. Everything I preach tonight amazes me. How the God of heaven, how Jesus Christ, Brother Evan, would give his life for me. It amazes me that he gave his all for me. It amazes me that he hears and answers my prayers. Amazes me that I get to live this life, because after salvation, the rest really is the best. So here's my closing question, and we're going to stay in just a second. My closing question is this. After I presented everything I did tonight, somebody will still leave Miss Linda and choose the other. But my question to you is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for in choosing Christ to be the best thing that's ever happened to you? Maybe tonight you say, Brother Brandon, I already am saved. Maybe I just remind you tonight, do you really know what kind of life, what kind of benefits you've got at your disposal? Do you really know what Christ wants you to have in your life? And if you don't know him tonight as your Savior, I'd love to take a Bible, show you how to be saved. But the question is really up to you. Are you going to choose now, or are you going to let Christ make the rest of your life the best part of your life? We're standing, every head bowed and every eye closed. She's going to sing one verse of this if she can. The altars are open. If you need to come pray about anything, I'll be right here to pray with you.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.